Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
And he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown great mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, lie about you, and say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Be excited, because great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You cannot be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a cover. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Matthew 5.
Wonderful. Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Pastor Paul here. Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles in hand. We're going to power up the lights. This is our time. We're going to get into the message. We do have some things toward the end of the message. We want to pray and just bring some brief announcements as well, some special things we want to do. But we always like to get into from the worship into the word. We just know that God follows the proclamation of the word with signs following. So I'm going, as you have seen, Matthew chapter 5 is where we are at. I wanted to remind you, if this is your first Sunday here, we're in our summer series. It's entitled The Beatitude, Entering the Kingdom. And with that, our whole year's theme here at Hope Chapel is God's kingdom seen in 2017. So how we've been going about things, by reason of prayer and just the way that God's word promises just the miraculous to take place. So this is our seventh message in an eight-message series, and we're glad that you're here. So many of you have just journeyed along with us, and I'm thrilled, but each message is in its own right something unique and special for you. So there's not an accident that you're here or listening and watching online as well. Let's even just pray before we proceed. Father, thank you. You've already started to do some great works even beyond this room. So we thank you for just doing now a great work within the rooms of each of our house, each of our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our emotions. Lord, open the word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we're taking a look at the seventh beatitude. It's involving peace. Today's message is entitled The Peacemaker. The Peacemaker. We're looking at, naturally, Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. So, naturally, I'm going to throw in a little bit of a joke because this sermon's going to go nice and long. You believe me, don't you? So, the sermon goes very long with this other pastor, and he's preaching long, unusually long. And at the conclusion of the message, the service is dismissed. People, the members are filing out. The pastor's shaking hands like a good community pastor should. And as they are filing out, no one says anything, but he's counting on this last person because they're always so polite to comment favorably on the message. And so that person comes up to the pastor and says, "Pastor, this message really reminded me about the peace and love of God." And he was so excited. He says, "No one's ever told me that about a sermon of mine. Why do you say so?" And so that person said, "Well, Pastor, first of all, it reminded me of the peace that passes all of our ability to understand." and the love that endures forever. So there you go. We're going to go with that. Hey, we're right now taking a look at what the scripture has to say when Jesus addresses, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Have you ever noticed how that times in relationship people start to look alike? They start to kind of resemble. Sometimes even dog owners start to look like their pet. Isn't that true? You start wearing dog sweaters. You start grooming your hair the same as your pet. And that can happen by reason of association, too. I remember a while back doing a chapel in a Christian school that my three children were attending at the time. And before the chapel began, I was in the recess area, and the children were just playing around. And one young man came up to me and stuck his finger almost at my chin and says, "I know who you are. You're Luke's dad, aren't you?" I said, "How do you know that?" And he says, "Because you look like him." And I thought, wow, that's great. But it's amazing. By reason of association, there can become a resemblance. And one of the things about what God's word is saying to us today is about peacemakers. That because God is all about peace, that's what he's into. That's his destination. We're going to see the direction to that, but the destination is God wants to bring peace. We know so clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that the scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Man, the whole world. He was in Christ, and he's all about that, reconciling, bringing peace to himself and bringing you to himself. Like John 3:17 says, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Christ, through his son, the world might be saved. So he's all about peace. That's his desire. Is God a peacemaker? Yes, sir, he is. He's all about doing that and bringing that there. When the angels announced the birth of Jesus, remember that? They said, man, peace on earth, goodwill to men. So that's a declaration. And isn't there just universal longing in everybody that we all want peace? Peace in our own lives, peace in our families, peace in our marriages, peace in our place of work. That's just, everybody wants peace, so we long for that. We're just not sure how to arrive at that. And I'm so glad that you're here. That's why, not an accident that you're here. Our own White House wants peace. That's why they have peace accord, peace camps, peace treaties. I mean, it's everybody's looking for that. And we recognize one thing, that it really comes through Jesus Christ. God's direction is peace. So when we look here, we're not going to really know what peace is until we really find out what peace is not. But let's look at our first point. God's peace is the presence of a right order. Let me just establish that first of all. What does a right order mean? Something about having peaceful environment. Man, it just seems like good communication happens. There is an element of love that flows, a free-flowing love. There's good camaraderie. We call it fellowship, but man, people like to actually come on in and just say, I feel good right there. That right order, that's God's peace. Let's take a little bit further look, but let's understand what God's peace is not. So you see letter A, God's peace is not like the world's peace. Let's look at John chapter 14. If you're still there in Matthew, let's go to the right. You'll pass Mark, Luke. Let's go to John 14. See, the world gives a peace, but it's a counterfeit peace. And that's one of those things that I'm glad that you and I get a chance to remind ourselves on. So in verse 27, Jesus said this, in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So there is a peace the world provides. It is not the peace that Jesus is talking about, not the peace that we're talking about, and it's definitely not the peace we're about to encourage and distribute here this morning. Because we recognize this, that the peace that God is talking about is not like anything that you and I maybe have ever experienced if we don't know the peace of God. So the world's peace is just to ignore the problem at hand. Sometimes people get into all forms of mind-numbing pursuits that may alter things. What they're really doing is just kind of, I need a break from the pain or conflict. So we'll go into some forms of entertainment, some form of intake of substance, becoming substance abuse, and that's the world's form of peace. So you can recognize here Jesus saying, the peace I'm going to give you, it's not from the world, not what the world gives. So what I like about it, and I have experienced this, since the world didn't give me the peace of God, it can't take it away. That's what blows the mind of people who watch you as Christians. How can you still be so happy? I see this and know this, that you're going through this. How is it? What's going on? Man, there's a peace of God. It's amazing. Letter B, God's peace is not like a truce. That's important to recognize. To be a peacemaker is not a truce maker, and the difference is that peace always follows victory. Always follows victory. Man, settled, bam. A truce is literally, on the other hand, it's you and me ignoring the pain. We are ignoring the conflict. We're not going to dive into the issues. Let's not even talk about it. Let's just truce. Let's ignore it. Let's not talk. So you have marriages that don't have God's peace. They have a truce. They're just there within the same confines. They are willing to just be friendly to each other, especially in public. But it's not God's peace. Remember, God's peace brings in a right order. Man, there's love that flows. I mean, you know that kind of love we talk about? Bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Those kinds of, man. That right order where there's good communication doesn't mean we have to agree, but we understand each other. It's like, oh, that's the way you think. Ah, that makes sense. I don't agree, but that makes sense. And we ease and are in complete area of a peaceful environment once again. So let's look at number two, two areas of peace you must have to be a peacemaker. And letter A, peace with God. Let's go to Romans. If you're in John still, let's go past to the right, Acts, and then the next book will be Romans. Look at Romans chapter 5. Verse 1 is where it's at. Because you can never really have peace in the world without the peace with God. We're talking with God. Sorry, it's a pipe dream if you're ever anticipating being a man or a woman with real peace. Look at verse 1. Therefore, Romans 5, 1 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation. That is confidence in the cross. You or I can say, man, I'm wanting to declare justified and now have peace with God through Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. Man, that's how peace with God comes. Or a person could come along and just justify their misdeeds, which the Bible calls sin. We justify our sins by making excuses. I'm not going to declare anything with Jesus. I've got an excuse the way I'm conducting the affairs of my life. And therefore, no peace with God. So people are in turmoil. So with that, boy, Jesus is the only way to really have not only our sins removed, but with it the fallout, which comes with guilt and shame and despair, sometimes deep emotional ailment like depression, and no excuses. We come along and say, Lord, I am not going to give any more excuses. I want peace with you, and I accept salvation alone in Jesus. Man. And that's what we're really going to maybe right now in a few moments offer that opportunity to both you who are here and you who are watching online. There's no better feeling to sense the peace of God that comes. To have that peace with God is amazing. I remember that day, literally, when I knew what I was doing, when I professed my reality of confidence in Jesus, his death on the cross for me, I remember so clearly, because when I prayed a simple little awareness prayer, man, it was like a ton of bricks being lifted off my chest. Bam! And I felt like I could really, really breathe. That was a noticeable breakthrough. It was a miracle. And what I was looking for, I found. Oh. Those kinds of experiences, that peace with God. Now, I don't know how nervous you get when you're driving along and you see a police officer. Any of you out there? I've seen how you drive. You should be nervous. Cold sweat. Our parking attendants tell us all the time. Thank you for Law and Order. I remember that one time back in Banning. You know, the air conditioning in our old Chevy didn't quite work, so the windows are down. And I didn't have my seatbelt on, but I had my children all lined up in the back with seatbelts on. Came to a traffic stop, and a police officer on a motorcycle comes right up to my open driver's window and cranes his helmet head into my window. Man, I felt chilled. I almost like turned the heat on. I was really pretty. And he says, it would be a good thing, don't you think, to give an example to the children by putting your seatbelt on. Now, yes, sir, no doubt about it. Yes, sir. Well, I want you to know, right, I now put my seatbelt on everywhere I go. And when I see a police officer, I'm actually waving at them. You know what I mean? It's like, hey. They pull me over, I'm preaching the good news to them. It feels so good to be in the right. That's the beauty of peace with God. And you sleep good. If anybody you want to have some peace with, it's God. So as we take a look at that, how perfect is that? We welcome the presence of God when we have peace with God. You know what it's like, maybe even now, when things aren't right between you and Almighty God. And the peace of God shows up like at Hope Chapel. We get a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, just like, what was that? And we excuse ourselves why we just don't want to be there too much. Because maybe we're not at peace with God. We read things like Psalm 32:8, and it says, man, I will guide you with my eye. Oh, please don't look too close. But if you have peace with God, and you come across Psalm 32:8, I will guide you with my eye. It's like, oh, bring it on. Go wherever I go. There's a big difference. Big difference. So with that, the Bible is designed for those who have peace with God. It's a great piece of a miraculous literature. Love letters. God's love letters to you. Peace with God. Well, how about letter B? Peace of God. Well, that's equally important as well. That peace with God leads to, say, man, we're going to have peace of God at this occasion. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Let's go to the right. Let's go a little bit further. You're going to pass 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. You'll be right there. I'm so glad you brought your Bibles or making notes, not only on bulletins, but maybe in your electronic devices as well. Philippians 4, verse 7. It's right there on your notes. It says, and the peace of God, see that there, we're not with, but the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let's look at verse 6. How do you get there? It says, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious can be also word of anxiety, or some translations say worry. We could literally say, worry about nothing. Remember Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. We were just there last week. Worry, Jesus says, don't do it. That's minor drips of atheism that sneak in when you worry. that God's not going to take care of you. He's not going to come through. So I might as well sit at home and stew and worry. Verse 6 here, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Straight line to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, the opposite of peace is pressure, stress, anxiety. The three major leading medications in our nation are stress relievers. Isn't it great to be able to say, man, I don't need those Valiums anymore? I'm going to save big time money on that six pack of brouhaha every time I go home. And I got peace of God. So when we look here, 1 Peter 5:7 again, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Take it to God. You who have peace with God, maintain that peace of God. Letter 3, peacemakers are those who establish peace. Let's take a look at that reference there in Luke chapter 10. Let's go to the left once again, almost back to the book of Matthew in Luke chapter 10. Peacemakers are those who establish peace. They're very happy people, and they really take on the resemblance of God, sons of God. Let me just remind you here, it's interesting, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is launching 70 others, just say, hey, just go on into those cities, every place I'm about to go, just tell them, hey, I'm coming, prepare the way. But he says this to his followers, and he's saying this now to you who have a peace with God and a peace of God. Look at verse 5. But whatever house you enter, first say, everybody say, first say. First say, what do you say? Peace to this house. Let's repeat that. Peace to this house. Whatever house you enter into, you first say, peace to this house. If you're a man, woman of peace, you're having peace with God, and you know there's not a peaceful environment in there, and you're going to be staying there even overnight. The proper thing to do is establish peace. If you're staying in that hotel room, peace to this place. It's mine. I paid for it for these next 48 hours. And let the peace of God reside. We're looking here, and it says in verse 6, and Son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. You go on into that place of work, peace to this working cubicle. When you go home, that peace is following you. If there happens to be other people that are in tune with a right peace, wouldn't it be great to bless that home, bless that community, bless that relationship? People are going to really like to hang out with you. Man, I just like hanging out with that gal, man. I just feel like there's just such a peace. So true. You go into a place, you go into your place this afternoon. If you have the peace of God, you speak to this house, be at peace, house. Peace of God, come. Come. And a right order gets established. Kindness starts to happen. Don't be blown away when the relatives start to do nice things to you and massage your feet, you know what I mean? And maybe pay your electricity bill and feed your cat. Just, it's a wonderful thing when the peace of God comes. Some things that you need to be aware of, what a peacemaker does to establish peace, here are 4 quick categories. We've talked a little bit about it. Number 1, make peace with God. You have to go there first. Make peace with God. Number 2, you lead other people into having peace with God. God is all about peace. Remember the angels? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. How is he going to do that? Well, Jesus right on, but he says, you're my church and I'm going to build it. So God's going to establish his peace through his church. You're on assignment. You're it. Love doing missions. Love sending people into the community. You're it. You go in there, you're doing them a great favor. So, lead people to peace with God. That's really evangelism, missionary work. Number three category, you become a peacemaker by making peace with everyone in your life. There's any opposition going on, make peace with them. I like Romans 12:18. As much as within you lies, be at peace with all men. Well, what if they don't come to the negotiating conversation? They're relevant. As much as within you lies, Romans 12:18 says, you be at peace. There's been some people I've gone out and said, hey, can we reason this one out? They do not want to talk. Can't do much, but I'm going to be at peace with them. So it's important that you work that. Is there somebody that you know you need to just bring to the conversation once again? Say, I want to have peace with you. Not ignore it. Not to have a truce. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can have a peace of God in this relationship. Fourth category, help other people to be at peace with other people. Isn't that great? You might have to step in there and help two parties know what it is to be at peace and watch the power of God come, and you speak beyond your ability. It's, man, where'd you get those words? And you just start bringing in a right order of the kingdom of God right down among that conflict that now has peace. I like peace. I sleep better at night, don't you? Matter of fact, I just like naps. I don't typically like naps, but then there's a peace that makes me want to take a nap. So we want to offer that to you right now. Maybe you don't have peace with God. We're going to go for it. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles with me, and we're going to sing this song and focus our attention on Jesus. So important that we do, especially when people sometimes think, well, how can I get there and what do I need to do? Man, Jesus, he's done it all for us. Let's stand to our feet right now. Let's engage God through this song. Thank you. friends, you just sense the love of God so much. And He just works so long, centuries long, reaching people to be at peace with Him through Jesus. And I'm going to invite you right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You who are just failing and not having peace, the peace of God. Let's start with having the peace with God. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes so that you make this a personal time with the Lord. And before I lead you in a prayer and invite all of you to repeat this prayer after me, but for you who are really going for it because you need peace with God, eyes still closed, but would you raise your hand and say, Pastor Paul, that's me. I'm going for it right now. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just go ahead and put that hand up. I understand what God's telling me. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. God's telling me some things, and I'm going for it, and I just want to acknowledge it or even launch into it. Thank you. Go ahead. Put those hands down. Anyone else? Thank you. Good. All right. For those eight hands, and then there's probably some others, but let's, for the sake of this, let's all pray this prayer out loud. We're really declaring our commitment to Christ and establishing a right order in our own lives with Him. And watch what He does. Watch what He does. The prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in You, that You have come to bring peace to my life. You are the Prince of Peace. And I declare to You now my need for You. Forgive me for the many ways I've gone about life. I'm sorry. I ask You, Jesus, wash me clean. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And I want the kingdom to come upon my life, upon my responsibilities. What You have said that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Lord, fill me now with the fruit of the Spirit. I am Yours. Peace, peace. I am a child of peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.